أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين محمد. اللهم صل على وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. Tonight, inshallah, we will wrap up our discussion of the past few nights, and inshallah from tomorrow night Sheikh Shomali will be giving lectures here, and all of us will be blessed by his presence inshallah. But before continuing with our discussion, something that should be noted is that to the 10th of Ramadan marks the demise of Ummul Mu'mineen Khadija, the faithful wife of the Prophet, peace be upon them all. You know, Khadija was 40 years old when she married the Prophet, who was only 25 years old. And she was one of the richest people in Medina, a very successful merchant, who did not use her money for usury or to give riba, but used it in business. And after the Prophet, peace be upon him, traveled a couple of business journeys for her, she asked someone to see if Prophet was inclined to marry her. And of course, the marriage took place, and it was one of the most successful marriages in history. Not because of the attitude of the couples, but because the wealth of Khadija, with the mission of the Prophet, peace be upon him, made a very good match. The Prophet used the wealth of Khadija to spread the mission. And right from the beginning, Khadija started to spend on believers, helping those who were new to the faith, until the very day of migration of the Prophet. You know, Khadija died a couple of years before migration of the Prophet to Medina. However, still some of her wealth had remained. The history records that the last chunk of her wealth was used by Ali ibn Abi Talib to buy a few camels for those who wanted to migrate after the Prophet under the care of Ali ibn Abi Talib. That was the last chunk of the money that Khadija had left behind. That's why the Prophet always remembered her, always. Aisha, the other wife of the Prophet, says that we noticed that Prophet always remembered Khadija, mentioned her whenever he was talking about the past. And once I told him, how long do you remember that old woman? You know, Khadija died when she was 65 years old. She was quite old. And remembering someone like Khadija while Prophet had young wives was somehow a surprise for Aisha, and said, how long do you remember that old woman? God has given you better and younger wives. And the prophet said, this is very famous from the prophet, Man li mithlu Khadija. Who will be, ever be for me like Khadija? Saddaqatni hina kadhabani an-nas. She accepted and believed in me when everyone else rejected me. And we know that how Khadija gave her support to the Prophet. And this is one of those instances that how women can be of great support to great missions, great, great missions, like the mission of the Prophet, peace be upon him. You see that a wife at the house can be of crucial significance and importance here. Khadija passed away in a very dramatic situation when Prophet, peace be upon him, and all his companions were seized in the small ship of Abu Talib. They were boycotted, all sorts of sanctions were there against them. They didn't have food, they didn't have enough shelter, and that was the situation in which Khadija, the wealthy woman of Quraysh, passed away. The history records that Fatima was very young at that time, we know that. And she was very distraught, crying all the time. And the Prophet says, I had one concern about Khadija. She had passed away, and that was great grief for my heart. And my other concern was for Fatima. She was crying constantly. And then Jibreel came to me and said, Ya Muhammad, go and tell your daughter Fatima not to be worried about her mother. She's now in a house beside Asiya, the wife of Pharaoh, and beside Maryam. And surprisingly, as soon as the Prophet told this to Fatima, a very young girl, she quieted down. She was calmed down. What did she understand from this station and what Jibreel had said to the Prophet, that your mother is now beside Asiya and beside Maryam? This, of course, indicates the great understanding of Fatima in the first place, and of course the high station of Khadija, peace be upon her. Both these ladies are mentioned in the Quran, in Surah Tahrim. ضرب الله مثلا للذين آمنوا. It's very interesting. Surah Tahrim gives us example of ladies who were wrongly connected to their husbands, and tells us that connections, marital relationship, would not avail anyone, or relationship with an evil person would not harm anyone. ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Allah gives example for those who disbelieve, those ladies who disbelieve, because it's talking about ladies. امْرَأَةَ نُوحٍ وَامْرَأَةَ لُوتٍ. The wife of Noah and the wife of Lot, two prophets. كَانَتَا تَحْتَ أَبْدَيْنَ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا صَالِحِينَ. They were married with two of our best servants. فَخَانَتَاهُمَا. They betrayed them in their faith. They betrayed them. Of course, this betrayal is betraying the faith. فَلَمْ يُغْنِيَا عَنْهُمَا مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْءٍ. These two prophets could not do anything for those two ladies, and they are in the hell. On the other hand, Allah gives the example of two ladies who were not connected to husbands, good husbands. وَذَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا امرأت فرعون. And an example for the ladies who believe is given in wife of Pharaoh. Pharaoh, we know himself, he's in hell. But wife of Pharaoh is in paradise, just beside God. إِذْ قَالَتْ رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي إِنَّكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Build a house for me beside yourself in paradise. Very high station. And Maryam ibn Imran, who didn't have any husband, incidentally. These two ladies are not honored because of their husbands. They are honored because of themselves. And Khadija also is not honored because of her husband. Although her husband is the Prophet, peace be upon him, this is an honor, but her honor goes back to her own soul, goes back to her own character. Inshallah, Allah will give us the understanding of the position of Salihin and Salihat and the will to follow them. If you look on the internet, you will see the very beautiful white shrine which was built on the grave of Khadija in Hajun in Mecca. And now you will see that it's completely destroyed and leveled. If you compare the two, you will see what the Saudis have done to all these sites, and especially to the site where Khadija, peace be upon her, was buried. To sum up what I said during the past few nights, I said that Ramadan is high time for a spiritual achievement. We are invited to Riafatullah, to a banquet of Allah. And to enter that banquet, we need to have certain diet. That diet is fasting. And it's not only diet, physical diet, you have to have some sort of a spiritual diet too. Your ears, your eyes, your tongue, you have to protect all of them. So that when you enter that banquet, you can benefit from the spiritual table that Allah has set for us. And I said that all prophets, without exception, as we have in tradition, fasted Ramadan. But this was not generalized to their followers, to their ummah. It is only this ummah, the last ummah of the last prophet, which has been honored by what was the practice of all prophets during the history. And I said that there are certain things that we have to do in this month. Above all is contemplation. Contemplation about different areas of ourselves and our relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the areas of contemplation could be our origin, what have been created from. فَلْيَنْدُرِ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّ خُلَقْ. Man should contemplate about what thing he has been created. خُلَقَ مِمَّا إِنْ دَافِقْ. Or as we have in Surah Mursalat, أَلَمْ نَخْلُقُكُمْ مِمَّا إِمْ مَهِينَ. Did we not create you from a base water? وَجَعَلْنَاهُ فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ. And we placed it in a very secure environment. إِلَىٰ قَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. To a certain period. This is our origin. If we contemplate about our origin, then all arrogance or stupidity that we have in this life about our own vainglory would go away. Everyone, from all the prophets to the meanest people in this world, have been created like that. This is our origin. And then we have to think about the end, our death. That is another area for contemplation. One last thing that I want to mention tonight. Of course, there are many areas of contemplation. I discussed some of them before. One main thing is that in the month of Ramadan especially, we have to look after our hearts. Hearts, of course, when the Quran talks about heart, or spiritual people talk about heart, they don't talk about this physical organ which is in our chest. That is another expression for the soul. Whenever we say heart or intellect, we mean our soul. But of course, when we say heart, we understand better, because we usually connect to heart whatever is spiritual, whatever is emotional. These things we connect to the heart. One very important thing in Ramadan is to look after our hearts. All these things that we are told, protect your eyes, protect your ears, protect your tongue, is because we have to protect our heart from evil entering it. This is high time for the heart to flourish, Ramadan. And if we do not protect it from evil, if we do not give it food, heart needs food. I tell you what food the heart would need. If we do not give it food, then of course it doesn't grow, it doesn't flourish. It remains small thing. We grow, the heart doesn't grow. We grow, the soul doesn't grow. Physically, we become very strong persons, but spiritually, from the heart aspect, we do not grow. One of the respected teachers of Ayatollah Khomeini in morality and akhlaq was Mirza Jawad Maliki Tabrizi. I said it with Persian pronunciation. Mirza Jawad Agha Maliki Tabrizi. He was a great man. And those of you who have visited Qom, you see, you know where his grave is, and many people go and recite Fatiha there. He has a book about what should we do during the year to protect our spirituality. The name is Muraqabat A'mal As-Sana. What we have to observe over the year. And for every month, of course, he gives instructions what we have to observe every month. In the month of Ramadan, of course, the longest chapter is about month of Ramadan and what we have to do. About the a'mal that we have to do during the night. I have said this repeatedly here. Ramadan is not about the fasting day. It's about the night vigil too. The du'as that we recite during the night. The a'mal that we do during the night. Especially when he comes to Laylatul Qadr, where, of course, almost all people are awake on Laylatul Qadr. Other nights, of course, majority would sleep because tomorrow they have to go to work. But Laylatul Qadr, everyone is awake. And everyone would like to do something. And the instructions that we have about the a'mal, the performances of Laylatul Qadr, are so numerous that, of course, if the night is 24 hours, we cannot do all of them. That's clear. 1,000 times you recite Suratul Qadr, 100 rak'ah of Salat, such as such surahs from the Quran, then dua Abu Hamza, then other duas. If the night is 24 hours, you cannot do all of them. That means that these are different flowers of a spiritual practice. You have to pick and choose whether you want to recite the Quran, or you want to do salat and prayer, or you want to recite 1,000 times Surah Al-Qadr, or you want to do Dua Abu Hamza, which one? Now, he says, do not pass Laylatul Qadr like dead people, with dead hearts. Just do things mechanically. Okay, I have come here, we have to do this amount of rak'ah of salat, then we put Quran on our head, then we do dua to Allah, and then it's finished, the amal is finished, I go home. He says, don't do it mechanically like that. Look into your heart, which practice is more pleasurable to your heart. If you see, for example, on the night of 90th, you would like to recite the Quran. Okay, recite the Quran. Don't worry about other things. If, for example, on 21st, you see that you want to recite Dua Abu Hamza, okay, recite that one. Whatever suits your heart, always be careful about your heart. This gives the worship in this way finds meaning, finds a spirit. Otherwise, it's a mechanical saying. The worship should have spirit. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said to his companions, Ma li la ara fikum alaykum halawat al ibadah. Why I do not see the sweetness of worship in you? And the companions asked, what is the sweetness of worship? He said, at-tawazu, humbleness. What makes the heart humble? What humiliates you before your Lord? That is the worship. And that worship you choose and you do. That is the most important thing. Of course, if we cannot do it, then we follow others. But we have to find a way to protect our hearts. Now, there's an advice from Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam about the heart. How to keep it alive. How to give it food. How to enlighten it. In one very beautiful sentence or a statement, he writes this to his son in a letter. You know, this letter in Nahjul Balagha, which is written to his son from Amirul Mu'mineen, you know when did he write it? This is very amazing. He wrote it when he was coming back from Siffin after all those troubles. Muawiyah had come to fight and uproot whatever was there in the center of Islam. 95,000 people were killed, thousands of them from companions of the Prophet who were on the side of Ali. You know, it's very interesting. In Siffin, Muawiyah came claiming he wanted to support the Caliph Uthman. Only three or four companions were on his side. One of them himself, one Amr ibn al-As, and a couple of others. On the side of Ali were 18,000 companions of the Prophet from Muhajirun and Ansar. And many thousands of them were killed by the army of Muawiyah. One of them, Ammar ibn Yasir, the great, great companion of the Prophet. Now, after all that, he has lost many of old friends in this battle. Then the Khawarij have come out and forced him to accept the arbitration. And he did. And then on his way back, he's sitting one night writing this long letter to his son, advising him how he should perform his life, conduct his life. Now, of course, the letter is very, very long, just one line of it, about heart, about the heart. He says, أحيي قلبك بالموعظة. و امته بالزهاده و قوه باليقين و نوره بالحكمه و ذلله بذكر الموت و قرره بالفناء. All about the heart. What to do with your heart? First of all, the heart dies very quickly. You need admonition, mo'ezah. You need someone to remind you of God, to remind you of your origin, to remind you of your end, to remind you of the misfortunes of this life and the transient nature of it. You need someone to do. All of us need it. Even the prophet needs it. That's why the Quran, Allah says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكَ فِي هَذِهِ مَوْعِذَةٌ. I am admonishing you in this Quran. It's mu'idha. The best mu'idha, of course, is the Quran. The best admonition is the verses of the Quran, which talks about the origin of our origin, our end, the history of the past people. This is all mu'idha. This would gives life to the heart. All of us need it. No one can say that I don't need mu'idha. It's a reminder. This gives life. And that's why, when you come to these majalis, just sitting here and listening is one of the greatest worships. Why? Because what we are saying, of course, we don't say anything from ourselves. We recite verses of the Quran, we say some hadith from the Prophet or Ayyam alayhi salam. These things not only, of course, gives life to the heart of the audience, gives life to the heart of the speaker as well. Truly, many a time, I speak, I give a lecture, and when I go, I'm more impressed by that mu'idha from the audience. More than the audience, I myself am impressed, and I'm under the sort of hold of that mu'idha which comes from the Quran and Hadith for some while. We all need mu'idha. It gives life. أَحْيَ قَلْبَكَ بِالْمَوْعِذَةِ. Gives life to your heart with admonition. And admonition, mu'izah can be practical, can be verbal. كَفَى بِالْمَوْتِ وَعِذَةً. Death is the best thing that can admonish. If you see your neighbor dies, your relative dies, that is an admonition for us. And of course, sometimes it's verbal. Give it life, give it death. This is very interesting. Amitho bizzahada. Make it die with zuhd, with lack of desire for this world. Zuhd is not abstinence. Zuhd is lack of desire. There's one part of our soul that we have to support and make grow, and another part that we have to subdue and let it die. That part which is always towards this world, towards greed, towards ignorance, it is in our soul, it is in our heart. We have to make it die. We have to kill it. That part which is towards Allah, we have to give it life. Life comes through mu'izha. Death of that dark side of our soul comes from lack of desire for worldly matters. Amitho bizzahada. And give it the strength, give your soul the strength bil yaqeen, by certitude. Seek certitude in your faith. Don't be just always in doubt, so-so. No. Seek certitude. If you don't have it, go and find it. Spend life and money for it. This is the most important thing, yaqeen. This gives heart the strength. This is why Imam Ali alayhi salam said that if the whole world turns away from God and becomes kafir, my heart doesn't swerve. I don't hesitate, because there is yaqeen there. I know that everyone is ignorant. وَنَوِّرْهُ بِالْحِكْمَةِ. and give light to it, enlighten it with wisdom. Where do we find wisdom? Again, the wisdom is found in the Quran. The wisdom is found in the words of the prophets and saints. And one final thing, we don't have time to go to the end. ذَلِّلْهُ بِذِكْرِ الْمَوْتِ. Tame it. Bring it under control with the remembrance of death. You know, the soul always tries to just go out of our control, explode out of our control with greed, with jealousy, with rage, with anger, with all these things. How can we control it? How can we bridle it? Remember death. You remember death, your soul is in your hand. It doesn't go wild. Unlike when we forget death, the soul goes wild. It does all sorts of evil because we think that we are living forever. Although theoretically we know we die, but practically we think that we are going to live forever. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the strength in this month, enough wisdom to use the rest of month for the well-being of our hearts. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَيْهِ الطَّاهِرِينَ